Today's daf is Tainis daf Yud Aleph. We left off on the bottom of daf Yud Amud Beis. We're going to talk about eating while traveling, whether a person is allowed to eat or supposed to eat or not while traveling. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how a person is supposed to behave during an Eis Tzara, when Klal Yisrael is facing a challenging time, what a person's behavior is supposed to be in terms of participating in the Eis Tzara or trying to remove himself from the Eis Tzara. The Gemara is going to discuss a little bit about the judgment that a person is going to face, that we're all going to face, la'asilavo, and how we're going to have to acknowledge all of our averos. The Gemara is going to have three opinions: whether someone who fasts is a chote, someone who stam accepts tainios on himself, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. The Gemara is going to have three opinions: whether he's a chote, a kadosh, or perhaps a chassid. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to have three possibilities of what Rav Huna holds when Rav Huna says that someone who goes to sleep after a fast day is over without having eaten, that the next morning he doesn't say Anenu in his Shachris. Why would Rav Huna hold that? We're going to have three possibilities. And then the daf is going to conclude with three shailas that Mar Ukva couldn't answer on his own when he was asked, but he went in and was shal by Midrasha. He asked about them in the Beis Medrash, and they were able to answer those questions for him. So let us begin four lines from the bottom of the page in Daf Yud Amud Beis, where we left off yesterday. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rabbi Chiya, Hamahalech Biderech, if a person is traveling, Al Yochel Yoser Mishnei Ravon, person is not supposed to eat more than he would eat during years of famine while he is traveling. My Taimo, what's the reason for this? Why does a person have to limit what he eats while he's traveling? So put two possibilities. Hacha Targimo Mishum Mayana. So over here they explain, and Bava they explain, that it was because they don't want him to have stomach problems, that the tareach haderech, the burden of traveling, is going to, combined with a lot of food, is going to cause him stomach problems. And we don't want a person to have to suffer from stomach problems. But b'marava amri in Eretz Yisrael, they explained, mishum mizoni, that the issue is that he has to be concerned that he's not going to have enough food. So he should treat his food like he would treat food during years of famine, where you only eat exactly what you need, and you make sure you save enough for later, because you don't know where your next meal is coming from. So someone who's traveling also doesn't know where he's going to be. He's traveling. He doesn't know if he's going to have access to food. So he should be very careful in his intake of food. My benai, what's enough nafkamina between the two reasons, whether it's because of stomach issues or because of the uncertainty of where his next meal is coming from. So two nafkaminas. One nafkamina is ikar benayu di yosef ba'arba. If he's traveling on a boat, so he does have to worry about where his next meal is coming from, but there's no toreach haderech. He's just sitting on the boat and the boat is traveling. He doesn't have to be involved in anything. So he doesn't have to worry about the stomach problems. Inami de kazel me avna la avna. Or if he's traveling on the turnpike and there's rest stops every X number of miles, so he's going from one stop to the next stop, so there's always going to be food available at the next stop. He knows exactly what his route is and he knows exactly where the stops are going to be, where there's always going to be food available. But in terms of the stomach problems of the tareach haderech, that he still has to worry about, because that could still take a toll on his stomach. Rav Papa called Parsa Parsa Ochul Chadarifta. Rav Papa, every Parsa that he traveled would eat one loaf of bread. Kasavar Mishum Mayana, because he held the only concern was one of stomach problems, and he knew that he wasn't going to have such stomach problems. Why was he so confident that he wasn't going to have such stomach problems? So Rashi explains, because Bal Basar Hava, he was a very he was a very heavy person, and therefore he thought that his stomach could handle it. Whatever he was going to put in, his stomach would be able to handle the amounts of bread that he was eating at that time. Amar v'idomerav kolamariv atzmo b'shnei ravon. Now the Gemara moves into discussing how a person should act during years of famine and in general during times of tzara. So amar v'idomerav kolamariv atzmo b'shnei ravon. Anyone who starves himself during years of famine nitzal mimisa mishuna is going to be saved from a misa mishuna, from dying an unusual death. Shenemar berav padcha mimaves. Why did it say berav? It should say merav mi bailei. It should have said from famine you'll be redeemed from death. Elahachi kamar bischar shemar evatzma b'shnei ravon nitzal mi misa mishuna. No, what it's telling me is berav, in the schar that a person starves himself during years of famine, that a person doesn't overeat during years of famine, he's going to be saved from a Misa Mishuna. Rashi points out, Misa Mishuna is any Misa that's not Stam Biyad Melech HaMavis. It's not a person dying on his bed, is a Misa Mishuna. If a person dies of famine, of starvation, a person dies of being murdered, that's a Misa Mishuna. A regular Misa is a person dies on his bed. Amar Reish Lakish, Asal Adam L'Shamish Mitasa B'Shnei Ravon. Another thing that one is not allowed to do is one is not allowed to have marital relations, one is not allowed to have Tashma Shamita during years of famine. Shenemar, Pasuk says, Yosef Vlad Shnei Banim B'Terem Tavo Shnas Arav, that Yosef's two sons were born before the years of famine, because once the years of famine started, they would not have been born since he refrained from Tashma Shamita. Tanach Hasuche Banim Misham Shemita Seim B'Shnei Ravon. But if someone doesn't have children, then he's allowed to be Misham Shemita during years of famine. Rashi says someone Chasuche Banim refers to someone who's not yet Mekayim Mitzvos Puravu. So it sounds like, according to Rashi, that even if a person does have children, doesn't mean Chasuche Banim that he doesn't have children at all. A person could have 10 children, but if they're all one gender, then he's not yet Mekayim Mitzvos Puravu. He was not yet Pater from the Mitzvah Puravu, and therefore he would not have to refrain from Tashmish Shamita during years of famine. Not all the Rishonim agree with that. The words Chasuche Banim make it sound like he lacks children, meaning that he never even had a kiyum, never even had any sort of mitzvah puravu. Makes it sound like he doesn't have any children. So some of the Rishonim disagree with Rashi and say that it's only someone who doesn't have any children that should refrain from Tashma Shamita during years of famine. Now the Rishonim ask some fundamental historical questions over here. We see from Yosef that during years of famine a person is not supposed to have Tashma Shamita, but ask the Rishonim, Yitzchak Avinu, when he was in Gerar, was Mishamish Mitaso, Yitzchak Mitzachik, the Torah tells us. And that was during a time of famine. How is Yitzchak Avinu allowed to do that? So there are a variety of answers I'm giving. The Mizrahi and Parshas Miketz says, in Parshas Miketz where he discusses Yosef, but he kind of quotes this Gemara, but he raises the question from Yitzchak, says that in the place where he was living, there was no famine. It's not so pashut at all that's what it says in Chumash, meaning in Chumash it sounds not that way, but okay, that's what the Mizrahi suggests. The Marsha suggests that it was after the famine was over that he first was Mishamish Mitasl. It says, Vayihi ki orchu lo sham hayamim. Pasuk says that once he was there for a long time, meaning after the famine was already over, that's when he was Mishamish Mita. The Maharal writes that he was not yet Mekayim Mitzvos Puravu, and this halacha is only for someone who's already Mekayim Mitzvos Puravu, but he was not Mekayim Mitzvos Puravu, and therefore he's, meaning the good raya that has nothing to do with Puravu per se, is Yosef had two sons before the years of famine, and then he refrained from Tashma Shamita, but the two sons is not a Kiyum Mitzvah Puravu the way we paskin. You need to have a son and a daughter for the Kiyum Mitzvah Puravu, so it sounds like not like Rashi, that even that Chasuche Banim means someone who doesn't have any children at all. So anyway, that's one question that the Rishonim deal with. What about Yitzchak? The other question that they deal with is, what about Levi? That there was those same years of famine in Mitzrayim and the world over, where people didn't have what to eat. Only Mitzrayim had what to eat, actually. And Yocheved was Nold Ben HaChamos. Yocheved was born in between the walls as they were traveling, as the Jewish people, the clan of Yaakov Avinu was traveling into Mitzrayim. So obviously there was Tashma Shamita during the times of famine, otherwise 9 months before their travels. So how did that happen? You're not allowed to have Tashma, Levi's not allowed to have Tashma Shamita during years of famine. So Tos over here asks that question. So says Tos, he says this isn't really a halacha. It's not a halacha that one is not allowed to have Tashma Shamita during years of famine. It's an appropriate Midas Chasidus that one is allowed to be Mekabel. So Yosef was Mekabel this Midas Chasidus. Levi was not Mekabel this Midas Chasidus. Mele, it's no problem. It's not really a din. It's not really a halacha. So what does Tosus mean? Does that really mean what it is? So some Achronim understand what it Tosus means, exactly what it sounds like it means. That there is no halacha. It says Asr. It says Asr la Adam l'shayim shmitas b'shnei ravon. That doesn't really mean Asr. It means that, you know, it makes sense to be no hey big iser, but not that it's in fact aser. It's still just a midas chasidus. The Sfasema says no. It's because it was before Matan Torah. That's why it was a midas chasidus. I mean, the Gemara is accurate when it says aser. For us, it would be aser, but for Yosef, it wasn't aser because that was called the Matan Torah. For Yosef, it was simply a midas chasidus. The Marsha explains that what Tosfos means is that normally, clearly, it's an iser gamur, but by Yosef and Levi, where they were not yet Mekayim Pru Revu, so they're considered included in Chasuche Vanim, so for them it was only a Midas Chasidus. For them it wasn't actually Aser. And that's quite a Chiddush also, for the Marsha to suggest that someone who's Chasuche Vanim is permitted to accept not to be Mishamish Mitaso because of a Midas Chasidus is a big Chiddush, because one would have read this Gemara that Chasuche Vanim are Mishamish Mitasein, not that they're permitted to be Mishamish Mitasein, but Chasuche Vanim are Mechuyavim to be Mishamish Mitasein, meaning that the mitzvah of Pur Revu overrides whatever this Isser is of not being Mishamish Mita during years of famine. So that's quite a Chiddush in the Marsha's reading over here. That's all just explaining what Tosus means when he says that it's a Midas Chasidus. The Ritva suggests different. He says that when the famine is only for Goyim, we don't have to refrain from Tashra Mita. Yosef didn't know that it was only for Goyim. Yosef thought that his father and brothers were all starving. So he didn't know that it was only Goyim that were suffering. Yaakov thought Yosef was dead, so he didn't know of any issues that Yosef might have been having. And the brothers thought, Manushach, either Yosef is dead or he's in Mitzrayim where there's plenty of food, so they had no issue in terms of him. So as long as it only relates to Goyim, the Ritva says, we wouldn't have a problem of being Mishamish Mita while that's going on. And the Beis Yosef just says, no, it's before Matan Torah, so it wasn't Asr. The fact that we learn from Yosef is only in Asmachta Bialma. Good. Tosfos in Maseches Moed Katan writes in the name of the Yerushalmi that we, in general, we don't learn halachas from Kol D'Matan Torah, that we're not allowed to learn any halachas from Kol D'Matan Torah. So Rav Yosef Engel in Beis HaOtzar has a long list of what do you mean we don't learn halachas Kol D'Matan Torah? And one of the items on his list is this halacha. So he says it seems that the Bavli is chalik on the Yerushalmi, and that according to the Bavli, we do learn halachas from Kol D'Matan Torah. That's what Marsham writes in the Tshuva also, that the Bavli must be chalik on the Yerushalmi. The Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch that it's not only during years of famine. The Rama writes, is one of the in Simin Reish Mem at the very end of Chelek Beis of Mishnah Berurah, at the very end of in Simin Reish Mem, there is the halachas of Tznius, the halachas of Tashmish Hamita. So the Rama writes that when there's ever an Eis Tzara, it's usher to have Tashmish Hamita during an Eis Tzara. So some of the Archonim understand, all the Stamid understand that he means that any Tzara that there goes or a Tainis on, one should refrain from Tashmish Shamita if it's such a tzara. Others say no, it's only a tzara that's like a famine, a tzara that's going to cause people to starve, not just any tzara, but it has to be a tzara where people are starving, that then we would then refrain from Tashmish Shamita. Okay, Vaitu the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, Bizman She Yisrael Shruim Bitzar, when Klal Yisrael is suffering, Upire Shechon Mehen, and one guy separates himself, Bon Shnei Malachi Asharis Shemalavan Lo Adam, O Manich Lo Yedein Al Rosho, the two Malachi Asharis that accompany a person come and they put their hands on his head, va'omrim ploni zeh shepirish min tzibur al yira bin chamas tzibur, and they say that this guy who decided to separate himself from the tzibur shouldn't get to see the comfort of the tzibur. He shouldn't get to see the nechama when everything gets better. Tanya idach, another bris says, b'zman shat tzibur shor v'tzar al yomar adam elich lebesi v'ochel v'ashav v'shalom alecha nafshi. Person should not say, well, I'll just go home and eat and party and enjoy myself, and I'll be totally fine. V'im osaken, if a person does that while the community is suffering, alav hakas v'omer, the pasuk says about such a person, v'nei sason v'simcha haruk bakar v'shachut tzon achul basar v'shus yayin achul v'shasu ki machar namus, that a person, while everyone else is suffering, says, well, eventually the death is only going to come later on, it's going to be after I'm already gone, so I might as well enjoy myself, I might as well not be concerned about the future of Klal Yisrael, because it's not going to affect me anyway. So maksiv basrei, what does it say about such a person? V'nigal bazni Hashem tzavakos im yichupar avon azeh lachem ad tumusun, that a person is not going to have a kapa kapara for this avera except for through death. Only his death is going to be a kapara for this avera of going and partying while Klal Yisrael is struggling and suffering. Ad kan midas beninim. That's for your average guy who's only partying and only enjoying himself because he thinks that the tzara is not going to hit him. He thinks that he's going to die before the tzara ever really happens. But avol b'midas rishayim, but someone who's a rasha who is never going to do tshuva, and even if the tzara wouldn't, he wouldn't do tshuva. Maksiv, what does the pasuk say? A sayu ekcha yayin v'nisba ashechar v'yakazeh yom machar. Maksiv basrei, what does it say afterwards about such a person who decides to get drunk and enjoy himself even while Klal Yisrael is suffering? Hatzadik avad ve'ein ish samalev ki mipnei ara nesaf hatzadik. That not only is he going to suffer, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remove the zechus of any tzadikim. He's going to get rid of all the tzadikim in whose zechus this Russia might be saved, and the Russia is therefore going to have no chance. Ela yitzar adam im atzibur. The bottom line is that when the tzibur is suffering, a person who's a member of Klal Yisrael has to act like a member of Klal Yisrael and should suffer along with the tzibur. Shekein matzino b'Moshe Rabbeinu shetzir atzma matzibur. We find the same with Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshe Rabbeinu is mitzar himself together with the larger tzibur. Shenemar v'idei Moshe kvedim v'yichu aven v'yisimu tachta v'yashav aleha. That Moshe's hands were heavy when Klal Yisrael was fighting Melchama, and they put a stone and he sat on a stone. Now why would you sit on a stone? Did Moshe not have a single cushion that he could have sat on? He didn't have a single pillow that he could have sat on? It would have been a little more comfortable than sitting on a stone. But Moshe said to himself, if Klal Yisrael is in tzar, I have to be together with them in tzar. And anyone who suffers together with the tzibur, is going to see the nechama of that tzibur. Unless the person say, well, who's going to know? Who's going to testify against me that I didn't participate in the tzaros of the tzibur? Who's going to know anyway? So the Gemara says four possibilities of who are going to be the edim. Number one is avnei beisol shel adam v'kuros beisol shel adam mi'idim bo shenemar ki even mekir tizak v'kapay me'etzi anena. That the person's walls of his house are going to testify against him, are going to answer against him in the end of the days. Tibei Rabbi Shila Amri, Tibei Rabbi Shila say, no, Shnei Malachi Asharis, HaMalav Lo Adam, Hein Midin Alav. It's the two Malachi Asharis that accompany a person all the time. They're going to be the ones that are made against him. Shnei Amar, Ki Malachov Yitzav Alach. Rabbi Chitka Omer, third possibility, Nishmaso Shal Adam Imi Id Alav. It's a person's own neshama that's going to be made against him. Shneimar mishochechas chekecha shmar pischei picha. The yeshamrim, and the fourth possibility is evarav shel adam yidim bo. The person's own limbs will testify against him. Shneimar atem edai nu'um Hashem, that you yourselves are the witnesses, are my witnesses, Hashem says. So whatever it is, there is going to be testimony against the person. A person who is not mishtatef with the tzar of the tzibur is not going to be able to hide and pretend that he was mishtatef. The truth will be known. Kel emuna ve'ein avel. Pasuk says Kel emuna, Hashem is a trustworthy God, ve'ein avel. What does this mean? Kel emuna k'shem shenifram min harishayim l'olam haba afilu al avera kala shosin. Just like the rishayim are going to be punished in olam haba even for the tiniest averas that they do, kach nifram min hatzadikim b'olam hazeh al avera kala shosin. Tzadikim will be punished in olam hazeh for even tiny averas that they do. This is a theme that comes up a lot of times in the Gemara, a lot of times in Chazal, that the rishayim will get punished for their averos in the Olam HaEmes, and that's why that's one of the answers to the Gemara in Brachos, when the Gemara in Brachos raises the question, why is it Tzadik V'ra'lo, Rasha V'tovlo, when Moshe Rabbeinu says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he wants to know the answer to that question. So the Gemara has different possibilities of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer was. One of the possibilities is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never answered. He said it's not something you could ever understand, why this Tzadik V'ra'lo, Rasha V'tovlo. But one of the answers that's offered in that Gemara and is offered throughout Shas is that the Rishayim get to enjoy life down here because all of they're getting all their schar mitzvos in this world, and they're not getting punished for any of their averos in this world, because in the Olam HaEmes HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to have no mitzvos for which to get schar, so they can go into maximum Gehenim, whereas tzaddikim are going to get rewarded in this are going to get rewarded in Olam Haba, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to pave the way for a clear path for Olam Haba, so he's going to punish them for their minor averos in Olam Hazeh. So that's what it is. The tzaddikim are going to are going to suffer in Olam Hazeh for the Avera Kala Sha'osin. The Ein Avel, what does Ein Avel mean? Keshem Shem Meshalman Schar L'Tzadikim L'Olam Haba, Afilu Al Mitzvah Kala Sha'osin, Kach Meshalman Schar L'Rishayim B'Olam Hazeh, Afilu Al Mitzvah Kala Sha'osin. Just like a Tzadik is going to get Schar, even for very tiny mitzvahs in Olam Haba, the Rasha gets Schar in Olam Hazeh for very small mitzvahs that he does. Tzadik V'Yashar, who the Pasuk continues, Melameh Shabashas P'tirasu Shaladam L'Beis Olamo, Kol Maisav Nifrat in Lefanav. This teaches us that when a person goes to the Olam HaEmes, every action he did is detailed in front of him. Va'omrim lo, and they say to him, Kach v'kach asisa, b'makom ploni, b'yom ploni. This is what you did in this place, on this day. A clear record of all of his actions throughout the course of his lifetime. V'hu omer hein, and he's forced to acknowledge all of it. Yes, I did that. Yes, that's exactly what I did. V'omrim lo chasom, and they say, sign on it. You have to acknowledge with your signature. They v'chosem, and he signs on it. Shnei Rabbi Yad kol adam yachtom. V'lo od el shematztik alav esadin. Not only that, he has to be matztik the din, he has to do Tziduk Adin by acknowledging that Hashem is righteous in punishing him for all of the averos that he did. V'omer lahem yofa dantuni. He has to say that you judged me properly, you judged me accurately. L'kayim ha'shen emar, and that's a fulfillment of the pasuk of l'man titztak bidvarecha. So that's what's going to happen in the Olam HaEmes. That's the kelamuna ein avel. Amar Shmuel, kol yoshev betainis nikra chotei. So Shmuel is the first of three opinions. Someone who accepts fasts upon himself, is that a good thing or a bad thing? So Shmuel says he's nikra chotei. He's considered to be a sinner if he accepts to fast upon himself. Savar ki aitan, and he holds like the following opinion. Detani Rav Elazar HaKapur b'Rebbe Yomer, matam lomer v'chiper alav me'asher chata l'nefesh. Why does the pasuk say with regard to a nazir that he needs a kapara because he did some sort of avera? V'chibeiz a nefesh chata zeh. What sort of avera did a nazir do? His avera is that he withheld the pleasure of wine from himself. So now we can make a simple kalvachomer. If someone who only withheld himself from wine is still called a sinner, someone who fasts withholds all sorts of pleasures from himself, all the more so he's called a sinner, and that's why someone who fasts is nikra chote, says Shmuel. That's opinion number one. Frek Tosos, wait a second. Kasha Tosos says, Amirin Perik HaChovel, the Gemara in Bava Kama says, that a chovel ba'atzmo rashai, that a person is permitted to make himself suffer, aval acherim shechovel b'chayavim, but other people are going to be chayiv if they wound someone else. But you're allowed to wound yourself. Umefari shasam, hadagam rachovel ba'atzmo rashai, and the Gemara over there explains, you're not really allowed to wound yourself. You're not allowed to cut yourself. You're not allowed to bruise yourself. You're not allowed to do things like that to yourself. It's a major shaila, even playing extreme sports and these types of games that cause a person to get a person's not a balabas on his own body. So paintball and things like that, where you're putting yourself in a position where you're going to get bruises all over the place. It's a whole sugya. It's not a pasul to shaila. So you're not allowed to you're not really allowed to wound yourself. So the Gemara explains, what does it mean that rasha, you're allowed to wound yourself? So the Gemara explains be yoshev betainis, that you're allowed to be yoshev. You're allowed to fast if you want. That one is permitted to do that. So that Gemara Baba Kama says that Shmuel holds that if you're Yoshe B'tainis, you're not a Chote. And over here Shmuel says that if you're Yoshe B'tainis, you are a Chote. So which is it? Are you a Chote or are you not a Chote? V'yeshlomer Tos says, Devadai Havi Chote. Certainly it is a sin to be Yoshe B'tainis, because I'm reading Hachem, Mikal V'chomer, Minazir. Uman Nazir, Shlosir, Ratzmel, Miyayin, etc. Our Kal V'chomer is a real Kal V'chomer. Avol Mikol Makom, Hamitz the mitzvah lindar. He says, even so, sometimes you're going to do a small avera, but the larger mitzvah that you're doing while you're doing that small avera will overshadow the small avera. Gevaldik HaChiddush Tos is saying that yes, it's an isser to fast, but you know what else it is? It's also a great mitzvah to fast. So you're losing a little and you're gaining a lot, and therefore it's worthwhile to fast in that situation. Where do we find that there's a mitzvah taken neder? Haroa sota b'kukula, the Gemara at the very beginning of Nazir, that if someone sees a sota in her degraded state, yazir atzmo min ayayin, the appropriate response is that he should take a neder nazirus. And nevertheless, it's still a mitzvah chait. Still, there's some avera in it. He says it's very similar to someone who has a tainis chalom on Shabbos. Someone had a chalom and he has to fast. Even on Shabbos, he fasts. And then what does he do? He's yosef tainis latanis. Misa. He sits another fast to compensate for the fact that he fasted on Shabbos. Well, if it was wrong to fast on Shabbos, don't fast on Shabbos. No, it was right to fast on Shabbos because it's the right thing to do, but it's also a little bit of an Avera to fast on Shabbos. So at the same time, he has both a mitzvah and an Avera. Rav Shachter quotes in Bikvei Hatzon and Simon Gimel that the Gvura Sari, the Shagas Aryeh, is very bothered by this. What kind of concept is this? In general, we do have a concept where there's a conflict between a mitzvah and an Avera, and that's what we have a concept called Asei Dochalos Asei. So if a person, let's say, has shatness in his tzitzis, or there's a mila, there's tzaras b'makom amila, so we, a person wears shatness in his tzitzis, so you're going to say that he's doing an Avera also, it's just that the mitzvah outweighs the Avera. No, there's no Avera at all, that's the concept. Asei is Dochalos Asei, and there is no Los Asei, the Avera just goes away. You don't say that he's doing an Avera while he's doing a mitzvah, so he's called the Chote, but he's also doing a mitzvah. There's no such thing, it's just Asei Dochalos Asei. The whole thing goes away. So if Shachter develops the idea that you have to say that there are two types of situations. There are situations where there's hutra, where because of some principle like Asei Dochalos Asei, the whole Isser becomes hutar, and there, the whole Isser goes away, the whole Isser becomes mutar, and then there are certain situations where you need kapara by Nazar, by Yoshe B'Tainis, or Misana Tainis Chalom on Shabbos. There's a mitzvah mitzad echad and a veru mitzad sheni. There is no concept of Asei Dochalos Asei. There's no concept of hutra. So in those situations, the Avera still exists, meaning there are two different types of situations. You just have to figure out exactly how to be magdir, when to apply which principle. But we do see from this Tosis that there is that concept that a person does a mitzvah and an Avera simultaneously, which is somewhat of a difficult concept to understand. The Gemara in Maseches Nedarim and Dav Yud, and also Nazir Dav Yud Tes, also quotes this day of Rav Lezer HaKapar, who says that a Nazir is doing an Avera on some level, and the Gemara says that even though the Pasuk is talking about a Nazir Tameh, meaning there are two types of Nazirim, someone's Mekabel and Nazir, so he's got to be a Nazir for 30 days, right? And then what happens if he becomes Tameh somewhere in the 30 days? So he has to start over again, he has to bring Karbanos and start over again. Now that's an unfortunate thing. If he became Tameh within 30 days, that's a very terrible thing. It's an Avera for him to become Tameh. He ruined his Nazirus, he's still got to make it up. Now he's going to be a Nazir for longer than he had anticipated, so that's a much less desirable outcome. Normally a person becomes a Nazir, we expect he'll be for 30 days and Shaina will be over and he'll have done the wonderful mitzvah of Nazirus. So the Gemara over there says, even though the Pasuk that talks about the Nazir being a Chote is talking about the Karbanos of a Nazir Tameh, the Gemara says it applies even by a Nazir Tahar. That's how the Gemara says over there. However, the Gemara in Nazir Dav Gimel understands that this sheet of Rav Lazar Kapar is only by a Nazir Tameh, not by a Nazir Tahar. By a Nazir Tahar, it's a mitzvah rabba that he's doing, and therefore there's no problem. So in Masechta Sota, Tosfos writes that it's really a machlokas. It's a machlokas hasugis, what this pasuk is talking about. So it could be that Shmuel, who compares Tainus to a Nazir, holds that Tainus is like a Nazir Tameh, that when a person, meaning when a person is Yoshe B'Tainus, that's the equivalent of a Nazir who became Tameh, because a person is Mitzayer Mikol Davar. What's the problem with a Nazir Tameh? Most of the time when a person is Mekabel Nazirus, he's not going to regret being Mekabel in Nazirus, but if he becomes Tameh, well then he'll regret ever having been Mekabel in Nazirus in the first place. So a person is Yoshe B'Tainus and he's causing himself Tzar, there's that concern that he might regret ever having been Mekabel the Tainus in the first place because of all the tsar that he's suffering. Whereas Sugya in Nedarim seems to hold that Tainus is similar to a Nazir Tahar, that even that's called a Chote because he's withholding pleasure from himself. Okay, that was one approach to someone who's Mekabel Tainios. Second approach, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Nikra Kadosh. Rabbi Lazar says that such a person who's Mekabel Tainios and himself is called a Kaddush. Shenemar Kaddush Yer Gadol Peres Sa'arosho. Umazeh Shalotzir Atzmel Midavarecha Nikra Kaddush. If someone who only withheld wine from himself is called a Kaddush, the Nazir is called a Kaddush. Hamitzayar Atzmel Mikol Davar Alachas Kama V'Kama. Someone who's Mitzayar himself from all sorts of things, all the more so is called a Kaddush. So someone who accepts Tainios is for sure called a Kaddush. So frankly, Gemara Ulishmuel Ha'ikri Kaddush. What's Shmuel going to do with the fact that the Pasuk calls him a Kaddush? Shmuel says he's a Chotei. So what's he going to do with the pasuk that calls him a kadosh? Hahu agidul parakai. Shmuel says, no, the pasuk is not calling the nazir a kadosh. The pasuk is calling the hair that he grows to be kadosh. That hair is kadosh, but the actual person, the gavra, is not called a kadosh at all. Cheshek Shlomo raises the question. Yeah, but there's another pasuk. The pasuk in Bamidbar Parak Vav pasuk Ches in Parshas Nasav. Kol Yemei Nizro Kodesh Hu LaHashem. That Kodesh Hu LaHashem. All the days of his Nazirus, he is Kodesh LaHashem. That pasuk is hard to say. You can't say that's talking about the Gidul Pera. That's obviously talking about the person himself. So very difficult to understand how Shmuel could say that the Kadosh, the term Kadosh, is reserved only for the hair and not for the person. Ula Rabbi Lazar Nikra Chote. What's Rabbi Lazar going to do with the fact that the Torah calls him a Chote? Hahu Desayiv Nafshei. The Rabbi Lazar will say, no, that's only talking about the fact that he's Metam himself by a Nazir Tameh, who became Tameh. He's a Chote for becoming Tameh, but not for becoming a Nazir. There's nothing wrong with becoming a Nazir. Adraba, he's a Kadosh if he becomes a Nazir. So, frankly, Miyam Rav Lazar Achi, does Rav Lazar really say that a Nazir is called a Kadosh? Vam Rav Lazar, Lolim Yom Adam Atzmo, Ki Ilu Kadosh Shari B'toch Meyav, Shenem Rav Kibrach HaKadosh V'lo Av B'ir, that shouldn't, isn't Rav Lazar the one that says that a person should always view himself as if there's a Kadosh residing within him, that he has to take care of, meaning as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is in his stomach, and he has to take care of him, and he has to support him, and he has to nourish him. So a person should not starve the kedusha within, and therefore a person should not fast. Says Mar Lo Kasha, Had the Matzil Tzuri Nafshei, Had the Lo Matzil Tzuri Nafshei. It all depends whether he's capable of being sovel the tainus or not. If he's able to withstand the tainus, then he's praised as a kadosh. But if he's not able to withstand the tainus, so then he's called a chote for trying to put himself through something that he's unable to really withstand, that he's unable to really do. There's a fascinating discussion whether there's a concept of tsar balei chayim on human beings. Do we say that for a person's not allowed to make, why is it that a person's not allowed to make himself suffer? Is it a din of tsar balei chayim? Tsar balei chayim, the Gemara Bava Metzia says daraisa. The Rishonim have a hard time figuring out where we find that it's nisa daraisa. That's where Rav Asher Weiss writes that it's got to be ratzon haTorah, because there are 14 different shitos and none of the shitos really make that much sense. So it's got to be just ratzon haTorah. The general impression that you get from Kol HaTorah Kula is that there's a problem with Tzar Bel Chaim. But it would make a big difference whether we just say it's not appropriate for a person to make himself suffer, or it's an actual Isra of Tzar Bel Chaim. Chavis Yari had a tshuva about a Kohen who in his house there was a mace that couldn't be moved currently, and the Kohen was stuck outside and it was freezing cold and it was raining and he was suffering terribly outside, and the only way to find shelter was to run through his house to the neighbor's house where he would be able to find shelter. Now the neighbor's house wasn't Tameh, but his house was Tameh. He would have to run through his house. So the Chavis Yair writes, and you might think to say that since Tzar Balei Chaim is Doraisa, so it should be Docha the Yisur of Tumas Kohanim L'sha'a, the few moments that he's going to have to run through his house, and therefore who would ever have thought to say such a thing? I never would have thought such a svar. Chavis Yair says, one might say that, one might think that. He says, no, there's no such thing of Tzar Balei Chaim on a human being. The whole concept of Tzar Balei Chaim is that when you cause an animal to suffer, the animal doesn't have the intellect and the emotional stability to calm himself down. A person has the ability to breathe, calm himself down, pull himself together. An animal can't do that. So the tsar that a person is suffering, there's not going to be an issur of tsar balei chayim, because a person has to pull himself together. But the tsar that an animal is suffering, that would be tsar balei chayim. So according to the Chavis Yair, it would turn out that the mitzvah of prika, the Torah says, if you see behemus chaveru revetzes tachas masa, you see the animal suffering from its heavy burden, that would only be true by a behema. Would not be, because the behema cannot be miyashiv daita from the tsar. But by a person, there wouldn't be any such mitzvah. So the Achronim point out that it's against the Beferush Tshuva and the Rashba. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva that the mitzvah of Prika and Ti'ino is also by a person. So you see that there's a concept of Tzar Balei Chaim by a person as well. So the Chida suggests that it's not a stira at all, that the Rashba is not, the Chavis Yair is not going against the Rashba. He says there's a big difference between when you see someone else suffering to try to help them versus allowing yourself to violate an Isser on the grounds that it's Tzar Balei Chaim to yourself. Meaning one is not allowed to violate an Avera with the claim that, it's Tzar Balei Chaim. pull yourself together and don't violate an Avera. A person has to have enough control to pull himself together. But certainly, if you see someone else suffering, you should try to help them. Meaning there's no Avera involved, there's no risk involved, so certainly you should try to help them. But in the Tshuvas Pitzel HaChachma, in the Masipta over here, across from the Tshuvas Pitzel HaChachma, Chel Dalas M'Kuf Chathei, that proves that there is some issue of Tzar Bali Chayim, even by a person from our Gemara, from the fact that someone's Mitzar Atzum in a Yayin is called the Chote, Mitzar Atzum called Dover, all the more so is called the Chote, and he connects it to what the Rambam writes in Hilchus Deos. The Rambam writes in the third paragraph of Hilchus Deos that a person is going to say, you know, Kina, Taiva, and Kavod are such terrible midos, they're Motzina, Sadam, and Ha'olam, so I'm going to go in the exact opposite direction. I'm not going to eat meat, I'm not going to drink wine, I'm not going to get married, I'm not going to live in a nice house. So the Rambam says, Gamzu Derech Ra'a, that's also not an appropriate way to live. A person is not supposed to suffer, a person is supposed to live a nice, comfortable life, but it shouldn't be a life full of tanugim and too many comforts, but a normal, comfortable life. A person should be normal. A person should live a normal life. Should not be mitzayer himself unnecessarily. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Reish Lakish Amar, third possibility of someone who's mekabel tanios upon himself, nikra chassid, that such a person is called a chassid. Shemar gomel nafsho ish chesed. Va'ocher she'eru v'gomer. So that a person who accepts upon himself a fast day, not only is he not a chote, he's doing a wonderful thing. He's a chassid. Halacha l'maisa, is it good to accept a fast day or not good to accept a fast day? The Torah writes in Tavkuf Ayin Aleph that it depends if he's able to be mitzar himself or not. Meaning he accepts the chiluk that the Gemara had said within the second shita, that if you're able to be mitzar nafshe, Reb Lazar shita, that if you're able to be mitzar nafshe, so it's a good thing. If you're not able to be mitzar nafshe, if you're not able to withstand it, then it's not a good thing. The Magen Avraham and the Taz write on the side of the Shulchan Aruch that's only for being misana derech precious. But if you're being misana for veros that you did, so then even if it's very difficult for you, it's a good thing to do. Meaning there are many svarim that write about how many fasts you should fast for certain averos, is b'derech tshuva for averos, to fast certain amounts of days for those averos. That's what the Magen Avraham Taz say. That's okay even if you're not able to be sovel. Person's allowed to do that. Now the Mishnah Berurah writes, and the earlier Achronim also already write, that nowadays we don't really do that anymore. We stay away from fasting as a method of tshuva, from extra fasts as the method of tshuva. We have many other etzos as how to do tshuva. Nadav Yehuda has the famous tshuva in Madura Kama Simon Lamed Hey about the yeshiva bachur that was sleeping with this married woman for a period of years and was now engaged to her daughter, and he wanted to know how to do tshuva for all of his years of avera. How many fasts should he accept upon himself? And he says, and keep in mind, I'm a yeshiva bachur, so I have a weak constitution, so I'm not going to be able to fast that much. So the Nedev Yehuda says, if you lived kishnos misushalach, you wouldn't have enough years to fast for what you did. So fasting is probably not the way you should go. You should probably do other things. You should learn more Torah. You should do other things in terms of doing tshuva. You should be misfalo with the more kavana. You should to take tainas dibur, shmir shabbos, right? Things like that. A person should try to do mitzvos as a way of doing a proper tshuva. Good. Says the Gemara further, I'm Rav Sheshes. Hi Barbe Rav, the Yasub Tanisa, Lechel Kalbul Lishirusei. If Barbe Rav, someone who's studying Torah, wants to fast, so then it doesn't even count as if he did a mitzvah of fasting. It's like a dog ate all of his food and he just didn't have any food available. It doesn't even count like he fasted, because that's not the Eitzah. That's not what we suggest to do. Someone just asked me last week, he dropped his tefillin, wanted to know if he should fast. There's a minhag that many people have, that they fast if they drop their tefillin when it's outside of the box. But in yeshivas, for sure, the minhag is not to. Because the assumption is like this Gemara, that a Barbe Rav, someone who's going to be learning Torah, we don't want to weaken his Torah learning on account of his fasting. So the minhag is that the yeshiva bachur gives tzedakah to the point that that he feels the loss a little bit. Not to give a dollar, but to give something that he would feel a reasonable amount, that he would feel the loss a little bit. I think that's even the minhag by Balabatim now, that people generally don't fast, that they give a reasonable amount to tzedakah, but certainly for yeshiva bachur. Amar Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba, Ein Tainas Tzibur B'Bavel El Tisha B'Av B'Vad. The only Tainas Tzibur that has all of the chumras of a Tainas Tzibur, where you're not allowed to bathe and all the nilas sandal and all of those things, in Bavel, the only time we ever do that is Tisha B'Av. And Tosfos points out, because it rains in Bavel, they don't really have droughts in Bavel, because as we learned yesterday, it's in a low-lying area, so the ground is always saturated, so they never have to have a Tainas Tzibur for anything else. A Tamil Chacham shouldn't fast because it's it's gonna hold him back from his Melech HaShemayim, from the positive things that he would otherwise be doing. So it's not a good idea for a Talmud Chacham to be fasting. Ochlin v'shosin mishecha shecha. So the Mishnah said that when the Yechidim fast, they can eat and drink when it gets dark. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Huna, Yachid shekibul of tainus hafilu achol v'shasa kol alayla lemachru mispalu tfilas tainus. That a Yachid that's mekabel a tainus upon himself, an individual that's mekabel a tainus, even if he's eating and drinking all night long, the next day at Shachris, he should say Anenu after being Mekabel the Tainus. Rashi explains in explaining Rav Huna that at night, at Marav also, he has to say Anenu, even though he's eating and drinking all night long. But it is a fast day. He was Mekabel it as a fast day, so he should say Anenu. Rabbi Kivega writes in his Hagos to the Sugya that it must be that Rashi was not Goreis that Lemachar, he says Anenu. It must have not been Goreis the word Lemachar. It's just that he says Anenu, and therefore Rashi understood that means he already says Anenu at Mariv. Trumas Hadeshen is Goreis Lemachar, and he just explains that the way it should be read is that Yachid Shekibul Lav Tainis Lemachar. If a Yachid is Mekabel to fast tomorrow, Mispalat Filas Tainis. He should be Mispalat Filas Tainis already starting at Mariv. But the word Lemachar is going on the first half of the phrase, that if he's Mekabel to be Mesana, Lemachar already at Mariv, he should fast. That is Shitas Rashi. However, Rashi quotes that the Gaonim were Mesakein, that you don't say Anenu at Mariv, and not at Shachris either, only at Mincha, because we're Choshesh, that maybe he's not going to be Mashal in the Tainus. He may not make it to the end of the fast, and then the Anenu is going to be a Sheker. So we wait till Mincha time, where he's close to the end, where the finish line is in sight, where then he could say Anenu, because then we're confident that he's going to make it through to the rest of the fast day. The Ran writes that if a person is confident, and he knows that he's going to be able to fast the whole day, then he should say Anenu even in the earlier Tfilos. And the Ran says that a Shliach Tzibur can always say Anenu even at Shachris. Why does Shliach Tzibur say Anenu at Shachris? Because he's representing the Tzibur. Somebody's going to make it through the whole fast, even if the Shliach Tzibur himself is not going to make it through the whole fast. Somebody in the room is going to make it through the whole fast, and therefore the Shliach Tzibur says Anenu at Shachris. But it's a very fascinating machlokas. The Balamar holds over here that there's another reason not to say Anenu at Mariv. Balamar says you don't say Anenu at Mariv because the fast doesn't start till the next morning. So there's nothing to do with whether you're going to make it, you're not going to make it. You don't say Anenu at Mariv because you're not fasting yet. But the Ramban says, no, you do say Anenu at Mariv because even though you're not fasting until the daytime, the fast day starts at night. Even though you're not actually not eating, you're not refraining from eating, but that's still called the fast day. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, Nigros Moshe, Archaim, Chelgalv, Simchuf, Samaches. Someone asked him, what if Shiva Asr B'Tammuz? Can you have a wedding on the night before Shavuos B'Tammuz? You're not allowed to have a wedding in 3 weeks. Can you have a wedding the night before Shavuos B'Tammuz? So Moshe says, L'chora, it's telling the Machlokes Balamar Ramban. Does the fast day start at night? It's just that you happen to still be eating? Or do we say, no, nothing has started yet at night, and therefore it's not Shaykh to say Anenu at night, because nothing has started yet. And then you would be allowed to get married the night before. So it's a very fascinating truth. Moshe says, Machlokes Rishonim, he says, I think I have a raya from a Gemara in Psachim, to one side in this machlokas. It's a complicated raya, not going to get into it right now. He says, I think I have a raya, but it's machlokas rishonim, and it's a matter of minhag. So when it's machlokas rishonim, a matter of minhag, we could certainly be mekel. And then he says something strange. The shaili he was asked about was when Shiva Asr B'Tammuz falls on Sunday. So can you have the wedding on Matzoi Shabbos? So he says, and you can't even look at what the minhag is, because how often does it happen that it falls on Sunday that you could determine what the minhag is? So why would it matter that it falls on Sunday? Meaning, what does it have to... He says that it's so uncommon that it falls on Sunday, we can't tell what the minhag is. But it has nothing to do with it falling on Sunday. It just has to do with any time Shavuos B'Tammuz. The shaila is the same shaila, having it the night before. Very strange comment that Rav Moshe has in the tshuva. Anyway, a lot of achronim disagree with Rav Moshe and think that even if the fast day doesn't start the night before, the 3 weeks starts the night before. The period of Bein HaMetzarim would start the night before, and that's what Rav Soloveitchik called the Nefesh HaRav. He has a riot from the Torah Sashlam in Hilchas Nida that way, that you're ready, you would not be allowed to get married the night before. Anyway, so another comment Rav Huna has, if a person goes to sleep while still fasting after a fast day, then he does not say Anenu the next morning in his davening, even though he's still fasting from the previous day. There are three possible explanations for why Rav Huna holds that if a guy after a fast day goes to sleep without eating and the next morning davens and he still hasn't eaten, that he would not say Anenu. Either he holds that Tainus Sha'os doesn't mean anything, meaning, because what happened? The fast day ended and the guy was planning on eating. And then he didn't get around to it. An hour later, he's like, you know what? I haven't eaten yet anyway. I might as well just go to sleep now. I might as well be mekabel this as a tainus since I'm going to sleep now anyway. Well, already he wasn't mekabel as a tainus the first few hours of the night. So you can't be mekabel a tainus for just a few other hours of the night. That's misan l'shos, doesn't count. Oh, Dilmor, maybe no. Rav Huna's svara is misan l'shos. You can be mekabel a tainus for a few hours, but v'misan l'shos in mispal tefilas tainus. But when you're misana only for a few hours, that doesn't allow you to say aneinu. Samlei Abaye says the olam k'sav Rav Huna misan l'shos, v'misan l'shos mispal tefilas tainus. Rav Huna holds neither of those things. You know why Rav Huna says not to say aneinu over here? V'shayni yachad yikasholz deleili delo kabel alav delo kabel alei meyikara. He was never mekabel the shos of laila as a tainus. He just went to sleep hungry, but he was never mekabel it as a tainus in the first place. It just happens to be that he didn't eat, so you don't say aneinu in that situation. Marukva ikla l'ginzak. Marukva went to a place called Ginzak. Bo minei misan l'shos ein misan l'shos. They asked the shayla, can you be mekabel a tainus for a few hours? Lo v'biyada, he didn't know. Kankanish v'nachum rasurin amutarin. They also asked him if jugs of goyim that they kept wine in are asur mutar to use. Lo v'biyada, he didn't know. Bameshi mishmosha kol shivasimei milum. They also asked him, what begadim did Moshe Rabbeinu wear when he acted as Kohen Gadol for the Shivasimei Milum? Love Biyade, again, he didn't know. Azul Vashal Be Midrashus, so he went to the Bismanj to ask the questions. Amrulay, and they said answers to all three questions. Hilksa Misal and Shalos Mispal and Tfilas Tainus. First of all, you can be Makabal Tainus for a few hours, and you would daven at Tfilas Tainus. You would say Anenu. Vilksa Kanakanash Lanachum Lachashem Vasar Chodesh Mutarin. After 12 months are up, you're allowed to use the jugs of Gayim. Chacham Si writes in the Tshuva that you see from here that after 12 months, all Tam is gone from all Kalim. And the other Acharim say, no, this was where it was used cold, it wasn't used hot, you wouldn't apply this to other Kalim. It's a famous sheet of the Chacham Tzvi. And Bameshi Mish Moshe called Shivas Yimei Miluim, and what did Moshe Rabbeinu wear for all of the Shivas Yimei Miluim? B'chaluk Lavan, a clear white robe. Rav Kahana Masni B'chaluk Lavan Shein Lo Imra. And Rav Kahana taught that it was a white robe that didn't have any hems, so no one should ever suspect Moshe of hiding anything in the hems or the pockets of the clothing or stealing anything. So that's why he wore a Chaluk Lavan that had no hem whatsoever. Okay, we'll stop there. Be'ez Hashem, Elisha's going to be giving the daf for the next 4 weeks. Shkaya.